在线英语听力室 teamroom.com 欢迎您。
It's mid-afternoon in Ellen Jacobs' sunny Upper West Side apartment, and the photographer is poring through thousands of photographs for her substitutes project. All the images are of New York's immigrant nannies, many from West Africa or the West Indies, some from East Asia or the Philippines. In the photos, they're tending to their young charges in Central Park, along avenue sidewalks, and inside neighboring homes.The pictures make us wonder, as Ellen Jacobs says she did, who these women are.
It's probably the only job that I can think of where there is an expectation that you love the people you work with, in this case, the children. And I wondered how the nannies felt, where they become part of the family, and then when the child gets to a certain age, they're no longer needed, and they're no longer part of the family.
For Jacob,who was raised by a black West Indian nanny named Martha, this project has also been a way to explore her own childhood. She loved Martha and remembers being consoled by her as a little girl when her beloved grandfather died.
And my memories is lying on her lap and her telling me that it was okay to cry and that my grandpa had loved me very much and that she loved me very much.And I still get emotional when I think about it because it was such a loving gesture from a woman who, quite frankly, was at work when she did that. So I think these nannies leave indelible impressions on the children that they take care of.
Hence the term substitutes for her project.
For a few years, they are, in a sense, a substitute parent. They're with the children, tend to be during the day, playing with them, taking care of them when they have a fight with a friend, taking care of them when they have a stomach ache, and they're with them all day.
And then, all of a sudden, usually when the child reaches school age, they're not. Indeed, Jacob says, it is the seemingly contradictory double role, nurturer at the emotional heart of a child's life,and expendable wage earner who can be dismissed at any time that defines the nanny's household role.
One woman from Trinidad spoke about having to leave her 4-year-old daughter home in Trinidad, and that's why she became a nanny, so that she could take care of a child and feel as if she was taking care of her own child. Another woman speaks about feeling left out at birthday parties,that the mother takes photographs of the birthday boy and gets a picture of herself being photographed and forgets to take a picture of the nanny with the child, and yet the nanny feels motherly towards this child. One woman spoke to me about how she always kept an arm's length from the children because she knew that the children would grow up and her employment and therefore her relationship with these children would end.So the woman felt very attached to the children, but they also understood on some level that they were not the parent.
However, nannies sometimes feel obliged to take on a parental role in the child's emotional development. One nanny told Jacob about how the girl she took care of would hide behind her in fear as her parents viciously yelled at each other. Eventually, the mother took to drink, and the father stopped coming home at all.
And the nanny had to try to help this young girl, a 4-year-old girl, stop acting out with other children, which the nanny assumed was in response to the upheaval that was going on in the household. The nanny felt somewhat equipped to do this, but not completely, and also felt that she didn't have the authority to really make the decisions she feltneeded to be made.
Jacob says there are often deep differences between a nanny's culture of origin and the Manhattan milieu in which they find themselves, especially in relation to child rearing. But these are usually dealt with during the interview and hiring process. Differences in economic status are harder to reconcile, however. Most client families are far wealthier and enjoy greater material comfort and security than the nannies that work for them.
The nannies...work very long hours. They're often very tired. They work sometimes from 8 or 7 in the morning till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night when the parent gets home from a long day that they've also had. They've had to prepare dinner for the children, and yet then they go home and try to have some sort of family life themselves. Some of them spoke to me about two-hour commutes each way because they couldn't afford to live any closer. Some of them spoke to me about wishing they had health care. One of them spoke to me about wishing she had a retirement plan, that she had none of these benefits that other people in the workforce get, that she was getting old, she would be discarded from the family, and she would have nothing to show for her years of being a nanny.
The complex relationships between mothers and nannies is also a theme in Jacob's Substitutes. While it seems to Jacob that some mothers are jealous of the bonds of love between their children and the nanny, many mothers treat nannies as skilled professionals. She recalls one mom, a high-powered investment banker, who expressed deep gratitude that her nanny, a mother and grandmother many times over, knew far more about children than she did. Ellen Jacob says that after 2 years and thousands of photographs, the Substitutes project is nearly complete. She has just put the final touches on an online audio slideshow. It's available on the VOA website, and a brick-and-mortar gallery show is in the works. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.